Infectious disease specialist Dr. Eileen Marty joins us. Dr. Marty, good morning to you. I was watching the news the other night, and they did a story on Valley Fever, and it was pretty scary. Am I supposed to be worried about that now?
Well, I don't know what was on the news, but I will tell you that this is a disease we've been tracking for a long, long time. And actually, the fungus that causes it was part of the offensive biowarfare program agents that were considered by several countries, including the United States. So it can be a dangerous pathogen for certain individuals, although about 60% of people who get that fungus in their body have no clinical symptoms whatsoever.
The frightening part for me was they talked about how it's prevalent out west and it comes from some sort of dirt or something in the desert. But more states east now were reporting cases of that.
Yeah, that's right. We've seen the spread because it's a fungus, right? It's a fungus, not one that not the kind you'd have for dinner, okay? Not a mushroom, but it is a very nasty fungus that grows in a way that's different when it's inside your body and different than other types of fungi because it produces what are called endospores. And so this particular fungus is really resistant to a lot of different types of temperature changes. And it's also very resistant to salt. So we can even find, sea mammals that can be infected with this, right? So it also will be the type of fungus that, when you think of a desert, like the San Joaquin Valley is largely desert, it'll be on the bones of an animal that died of it. And then when the wind blows, that fungus will then be available for somebody else to breathe in or another animal to breathe in. I've seen cases in dogs, not just humans, myself, and I know it can affect a number of mammals. And more recently, we found that it can infect bats, and that bats can act as a reservoir. And we think that that's one of the main ways in which it's been spreading recently. For example, it's now considered endemic in Washington State. And it's reportable in a number of different states, but not all states. For example, Florida doesn't have any fungal disease specifically as a reportable disease unless it's caused a meningitis. And so we don't really know the total extent of this because it's not reportable in all states.
And is it most common in desert areas?
That's what it was originally described, and absolutely we see the highest concentrations in deserty type of environments because it just does so brilliantly well there and spreads so easily in dry, deserty environments. But it's not limited to that. Like, remember, it's very, very tolerant of extreme conditions. And so another big issue with Valley Fever, with coccidioidomycosis, is that climate change. We really think that climate change is driving spread of that particular fungus.
Let's talk for a minute now about another scary subject, the Omicron subvariant that's called Orthrus, I believe, and it's becoming increasingly prevalent in the United States and Britain. What do we know about this?
Right, that's cutesy new name for a subvariant of Omicron called CH.1.1. That's its more polite name, if you will. And yes, it's another one that the reason it's gaining traction is because it does have, again, some capability to overcome existing immunity, right? And that's going to be very variable person per person because any time that we, our bodies see the vaccine or any time that our body sees the wild virus, it produces a plethora of different antibodies. A number of those antibodies are going to be neutralizing, and some of them will be neutralizing towards whatever's coming next, like CH.1.1, right? And some of them are not. But it's another one. It's not the only one that we're tracking right now in terms of things. There's a number of subtypes of BA.5 and BA.2 that are really serious. And the one that's really gaining traction in the United States quite dramatically is the XBB.1.5.
And a lot of states like Illinois starting to relax a lot of these rules. Does that make you nervous?
Well, it makes me nervous for the highly susceptible people and absolutely for anyone who's still unvaccinated because, remember, you know, most people have now encountered the virus one way or another and have some degree of immunity from exposure. But the kind of protection that you get from these remarkable vaccines that we've produced and that are available in the United States really, really makes that hybrid immunity ideal to reduce the risk from any of these. So, yeah, it does make me nervous in terms of what's going to happen for hospitalizations. It also makes me want to re-educate our physician community about the value of some of the antivirals, which ones have really shown to make a big, big difference, and to put people on those that are making a difference. And, you know, there's some controversies, but certainly Paxlovid has done a brilliant job in reducing hospitalizations and severe disease and long COVID, and also the vaccines. And the bivalent vaccines absolutely are reducing the risk of hospitalization and long COVID.
I know you attended virtually the meeting of the FDA advisors and various doctors last Thursday. Did you approve of the outcome?
Yeah, I think it's the way to go. As we spoke before, we had gotten into a very confusing set of recommendations, and while it may not be, the ideal way of handling it, it's a good, solid way of keeping our population with a high enough level of immunity that the numbers of people that end up with severe disease and hospitalization will be to a level that I think it's going to be very feasible by May to be able to end the public health emergency in the United States. Although that is going to make, when we treat patients, a little more expensive for some individuals because we won't have that nice blanket of protection that we had from the federal government.
Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University. Dr. Marty, if I studied all these diseases like you do, I'd be even more of a maniacal hypochondriac than I am right now. I don't know how you do it, but we appreciate it. Thank you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.